So during this Holy Week, we journey with Jesus as he and his disciples last Sunday make their triumphant entry into Jerusalem with the crowds of people waving their palms, laying down their cloaks and their other branches to welcome the Messiah. And yet this Messiah is very odd. For the first thing that Jesus does when he arrives in the holy city is to go to the temple and to cleanse it, to drive out all of the sellers of the sacrifices. And he says, "Destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days." Now, the temple was the heart and soul of the Jewish faith. It was a truly magnificent building of brick and stone, silver and gold. It hadn't always been like that. Back in the time of King Solomon, they built the first temple. And again, it was a wonderful, magnificent building, one of the wonders of the ancient world. But that temple only stood for about 350 years because it was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire in the year 586 before Christ. The people of Israel were then taken into exile and slavery. And when they returned after a new empire took to the world domination, they attempted to rebuild the temple, but it was much smaller and nowhere near as magnificent as the first temple that King Solomon had built. So when King Herod came to the power, he realized that the people would never be united unless they had a temple that they could truly be proud of. And so for 46 years, he had spent rebuilding it, reestablishing it, enlarging it, making it indeed to be one of the wonders of that age. And so when Jesus stands in front of this powerful symbol of the very presence of God, and he says to all this crowd of people who have just claimed him and hailed him as the Messiah, that this temple will be destroyed, they can't make out what it is that he's talking about. Because the first thing is that he's talking about himself. He understands that he is the very power and sign of the presence of God. No longer do you need just a building, as magnificent as it is, to be the place where God can be revealed. No, that God can actually be revealed in human flesh. Jesus changes the understanding of what the dignity of who we are as human beings created in the image and likeness of God. But Jesus stood opposed to the ways of corruption. He stood opposed to the power authorities within the Jewish kingdom and within the Roman Empire. And that never ends well. When you stand against the way of evil, when you stand against the way of power and corruption, there's only one way that that ends, and that's the way of death. That's the way that Jesus himself ended, by being nailed and killed and executed there on the cross. But that wasn't the end of the story. That wasn't the way that this was going to finish. Because what we celebrate today is the gift of resurrection. The day that says death will never have the final word. The death and all of the power and all of the sense of destruction and authority that so many in the world cling to, that will never have the final word. Because the final word is revealed when the disciples go to the tomb on that first Easter day. They go looking for a dead body. That's all that they were expecting. They went there simply to pay honor and respect and to change the perfumes and the ointments that were there to embalm the body. Nothing else. None of them expected to find the empty tomb, because suddenly God was acting in this new way. God was breaking into the ordinary experience of this people to say, no, your yesterday does not have to define your present moment. What happens to you today does not have to define what will happen tomorrow. You can be changed. You can be renewed. And Jesus was raised not just as a spiritual reality, not just as something that we can meet and encounter in prayer, but as this glorified flesh. Because what the resurrection also speaks is to say that everything that happens today, everything that happens in our present world, everything that happens in our flesh matters. Because Jesus was changed and transformed within his humanity. Everything that we encounter and experience in our lives matter, because just as Jesus was transformed and glorified, so also that is our destiny for anyone who believes, to have all of the acts that we do right now to be changed and transformed by his presence. So any time that you say a word of thanks to someone, any time you say a word that is kind and upbuilding, any time that you engage in an act of reconciliation and forgiveness, any time you create a work of art and beauty, any time that you truly give of yourself in love and compassion, you're participating then and there in this resurrection life. That the power of the resurrection is the gift of this transformation of our world. We still remain locked in the world of yesterday. We still remain locked in the world of brick and stones. But the Lord is saying to us, don't allow today to be marked and shaped simply by yesterday. Today is the day of resurrection. Today is the day of this new life, this new possibility, the chance starting today to bring our lives into this sense of relationship with the Lord. The temple was a sign and symbol of the presence of God. But the temple is no longer necessary, because now every single one of us can be changed and transformed to be the temple of God's presence. Every single one of us can be the place of encounter for ourselves and for others of the power of God's presence. That is the gift of resurrection. That is what we celebrate on this Easter Sunday. That starting today, we have this choice to be renewed, to be redeemed, to be restored in the very image and likeness of God. And today is the day that we can choose to follow in the way of Jesus. Today is the day that we can say to the Lord, bring it about in me. Change and transform my life. Let me be a sign and an instrument of resurrection life here and now. But the choice is ours. We can stay locked in the world of yesterday, or we can live today in the hope and promise of tomorrow, the promise of resurrection, the promise of new life, the promise of life with God.